Okay, let's get started. This year's Haggadah Shir, Tav Shin Ayin Dalad. Again, we will try to stick to what's in front of us. Everything here, I hope, is new over the past 15 years or so. But we'll throw in some old favorites, Be'ez Hashem, as we go through, just to remind the Chevra of some of the thoughts that we have mentioned. But again, we'll try to stick to the new packet, and feel free to listen to the old Shiurim online on the OU website over the past 5-6 years, and the 6 or 7 years before that on the YU website. Okay, we start off with this Simanim. As we know, this is a night of Simanim, Kadesh, Orchatz, Karpatz, Yachatz, and as we have asked before, what is the purpose of those Simanim? There's no other night that we declare and announce before what we're going to do. You know, this is what we're going to do. Everybody realize what we have planned for tonight. Kadish Urchas Karpas Yachas. In the past, we've mentioned the thought of the commentator's Haggadah, where he mentions, gives the mashal, if you go on a trip, and you wake up in the morning, and you want to go to a certain museum, and you called up the museum, and they're closed on Tuesdays. And then you want to make an appointment. And you go, if I don't have an itinerary, if I don't plan out everything beforehand, then there's a lot of the trip that I'm going to lose out on. The best type of trip is the ones that I plan before. Every minute is forecast. I know what I'm going to do at the beginning, in the middle, in the end. I know exactly what's on my list. And what I do earlier, I know already what I'm going to do tomorrow, and that impacts what I'm going to do even right now. The simanim, that's our itinerary. That's our plan. That's our roadmap for the Seder. We want to get to Nirtza. That's the ultimate, the last stop. But along the way, we have 13 other stops. Kadish, Urchatz, Karpas, Yachatz. Throughout the night that we have, this is our itinerary. And if we plan beforehand exactly what we're going to do, we will get the most out of it. Tonight, though, we have another thought from the Mayana Shel Torah. It has a little Haggadah. Also, it's famous for his thoughts on Chumash. But in Mayana Shel Torah, he says, interestingly, that they're called simanim. Why do we call these items simanim, the signs? Call them, I know there are other names that you could call them. Call them mitzvos, minhagim. Right? There are other words. Why dafka is simanim the word used? So he quotes al derech drush that aveda is ne'az hushav b'simanim. If I have a lost item and I give simanim, and I say, oh, it has this point, and it has this hole, and it looks like this, so then I could get my Aveda back. When something is lost, and I give this simanim, so then I could get it back. Throughout the year, we're lost. We're lost. We lose ourselves. We lose our true selves. And one night a year, the night of the Seder, our birthday, our national birthday. Right? We have two Rosh Hashanahs. As the Gemara says, we have Tishrei and we have Nisan, and they're both Rosh Hashanahs. But 2 weeks later, the real night that we went out and we were born. So we give simanim. We give declarations, Kadish Urchatz, and when we give those simanim, we could find ourselves. And we could return ourselves to where we want to be. B'chol Yemos Hashanah, Shari Adam Yisrael B'galus Ruchanit. We're in a spiritual exile. Hu Ma'abed Es Ha'ani Shelo. V'es Kedushaso, I lose myself. V'unase Oved. On the night of Pesach, Bizman Shel Geula, we could return ourselves, we could find ourselves, and that's why Dafke is called Simanim. It's called the signs. These are the signs of every Jew on the night of the Seder. We sanctify ourselves with Kadesh, we wash, we get ready, Karpas, Urchatz, Yachatz, as we continue throughout the night. So another general thought on the Simanim. So the first one is Kadesh. We make Kiddush. You look in the Chashukei Chemer Haggadah. Rav Zorbasin quotes Rav Elyashiv, his father-in-law, who quotes on page 2, that it's interesting, if you look in the Torah, there are 3 different psukim that discuss the mitzvah of Aliyah L'Regel. 3 times. We have the mitzvah of Aliyah L'Regel. Mishpatim, Kisisa, and Re'ei. We're just following along. We're going to try to have one thought per paragraph, as we usually do. And we're up to Kiddush. Page number 2. In Mishpatim, we have the pasuk Shalosh Pamim Bashana, Yeroe Kol Zachorcha, El Pnei HaAdon Hashem. 3 times a year, all of the males should appear in front of the Master God. As we're about to see, Rav Yashav notes, there's a different phrase in every pasuk. And the question is why? And this is going to relate to Kiddush, as we'll see. Three times a year, we're supposed to appear in front of Ha'adon Hashem. Second time, Kisisa, Yeroeh Kol Zechorcha es Pnei Ha'adon Hashem, Elokei Yisrael. Not only the Master, but the God of Israel. Parshas Re'eh, Yeroeh Kol Zechorcha es Pnei Hashem Elokecha. Hashem your God, period. No Adon. Just Hashem Elokecha. And the question is, what do all these three mean? Says Rav Yashif, we say in Kiddush, Moadim l'simcha, chagim uzmanim l'sason. Hashem gave us Moadim for Simcha. But really, each one of the Moadim has a special, unique message for us. They're a package. But each Chag, Pesach, Shavuos, and Sukkot, each Chag is one that gives us a unique message. There are more chairs. Bring more chairs around. It's fine. Says Rav Yashif, Kolecha min achagim bo lahashris b'leiv ha-Yehudi echad mishloshes yisodei hadas. There are three basic elements that are meant to be taught to us through the chagim. Number one, says the Rav Yashif, second paragraph, lahamin b'metzias Hashem. Number one, to know that God exists, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is there. Number two, Torah min hashamayim, that we have an instruction packet. And number three, hashgacha pratis, that Hashem has a special relationship with each and every one of us. That's the package of the Chagim. This is a great Dvar Torah, because you can say it on any of the Chagim. Not just for Pesach, and you're allowed to say these even during the day meals, not just at the Seder, but Pesach, Shavuos, and Sukkot, says Rav Yashif, Mataraso shel Chag HaPesach, lahashish banu es hametzias Hashem. Pesach is about recognizing that there's a God in the world. There was no nation before these events that believed. There were individuals, but nobody recognized and believed that there is a Baal Habira. Vizos ha'idei mashara Am Yisrael. Am Yisrael. Bios b'mitzrayim es pilei aborius baruch ves yicholto. Hashem is in charge. He could change. He could do whatever he wants. He's there. Mitzias Hashem, the involvement of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the world, that's Pesach. The whole process of Yitzias Mitzrayim, the Makkos, Makkos Becharos, Kriyas Yamsuf, the entire process, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is here and involved. And then, of course, and that is, says Rav Yashiv, that's the first Pasuk in the Torah. Right, what does the Pasuk say? Yeroeh Kol Zechorcha es Pnei Ha'adon Hashem. Hashem is the Master and He exists. That's Pesach. And then we have Shavuos. HaKadosh Baruch Hu isn't only there, but He's also involved, and He even has an instruction manual in terms of how we're supposed to live. I mentioned in the past in Parsha Shirim, but I'll mention it now again, that about 60 years ago, the Bechezkel Levenstein, the Mashkiach, was brought by his Talmid, and they brought him a present. They brought him a toaster. In the 1950s, they brought him a toaster oven. Wow, a toaster oven. They brought it to him. He didn't have it. He opens it up. He takes out the toaster. He sees there's an instruction manual next to the toaster. And he starts dancing. He starts celebrating. He's like, this is amazing. Unbelievable. They're like, Rebbe, it's just a toaster. Right? We didn't get you the most. Just a toaster. He says, no, you don't understand. He says, why is there an instruction manual for this? Because it's a little complicated. And Mistama, it makes sense, if somebody creates something, there'd be an instruction manual, otherwise you wouldn't know how to use it. And the more complicated something is, the more the instruction manual is a necessity. And that wouldn't make sense for somebody, the more complicated the computer is, or the item, whatever it is, it has to be that there's a way to know how to use it. What's the most complicated item in the entire world? The entire world. That's the most complicated entity in the world, is the world. What, there's no instruction manual? We don't know exactly, you know, just we're thrown into the world, we don't have any instructions? This is a riot, that there's a Torah ben HaShemayim. I see the instruction manual of a toaster, says Yecheskel Levenstein. So, that was his riot. That's Shavuos, Torah ben HaShemayim. Kadosh Baruch Hu doesn't just put us into the world, He has a plan for us. Every day we have something to fulfill, and something to live up to. And that's the second pasuk. Obviously, Chag Zman Matan Tarasenu, and that's the second pasuk. Yiro Kazochorcha Es Pnei Adon Hashem Elokei Yisrael, God of Am Yisrael. For Am Yisrael is a special instruction manual, an allusion to the Torah. And finally, the third Sukkos. Sukkis is Hashkacha Pratis for each and every Jew. As we know, Sukkis is the Anane HaKavod that protected us throughout the desert. Our clothes grew with us. Our shoes, our sandals didn't get worn out. Kadosh Baruch Hu protected us every single moment of those 40 years. Says Rav Yashiv, that's Sukkis. And that's why the third pasuk relating to Aliyah Liregel is in singular. Yeirah kol zochorchas penei Hashem Elokecha. Hashem, your God, is personal. So when we say in Kiddush, every yontif, Moadim l'simcha, Chagim uzmanim l'sason, says Rav Yashiv, there's something unique and special to every yontif, even though there's a package deal, even though together, all of them tell us that HaKadosh Baruch Hu exists, he has a plan for us, Torah min HaShemayim, and Hashkacha Pratis. So, and that also explains the three different psukim related to Aliyah Lereg. Okay, so we've made Kiddush. But let's have a thought related to all the Dalet Kosos. Okay, this can be said during the meal as well. The meal which is surrounded by two Kosos. We go to page 3, which discusses the Yerushalmi. The Yerushalmi, the beginning of Arve Pesachim, quotes many different parallels why we have four Kosos. Why four? So there's one famous line, the Dalet Lashonos of Geula. Voseisi v'isalti v'ga'alti v'lakachti. So that's the famous opinion. But there are a couple of other opinions that are not as famous. Maybe because they're more difficult to figure out what the connection is to the Dalet Kosos. One of the suggestions in the Yerushalmi is, it's keneged the four times that the Sar HaMashkim spoke to Yosef, the butler spoke to Yosef, and used the Lashon Kos Paro. It says the phrase Kos Paro four times in his telling over of his dream to Yosef. That's why we have Dalet Kosos on Pesach. Wonderful. Ma Inyan, the butler, and the Dalet Kos Shel Paro to the Dalet Kosos of Pesach. So here in the Kamotzi Shalal Rav, he quotes one of the Rebbe's from Lublin, who has another question. If we think about that story, so Yosef, as we know, interpreted the dreams. He gives the Sar HaMashkim a wonderful, positive, amazing interpretation, and the Sar HaOfim is not so positive. He knows the night before that it's going to be his last night. Asks this commentary. The Gemara says in Maseches Brachos that dreams follow the interpretation. And the question is, if that's true, and that's why, by the way, as we know, if we ever have a bad dream, we're never supposed to say it, because that's explicating it, it'll make it real, we're never supposed to say it. It goes after the interpretation. So ask the Rebbe from Lublin, why did Yosef give a positive interpretation to the Sar HaMashkim and not to the Sar HaOfim? If it all goes after Yosef, so why did he give them both a positive? Right? Yosef was a good guy, and yet he gave a positive interpretation to the Sar HaMashkim, so he lived, and a negative interpretation to the Sar HaOfim. What tipped Yosef off that he should give a positive interpretation to one and not to the other? See, he quotes, there's another Gemara. The Gemara tells us also, the last parak in Brachas is all about dreams. Turning to page 4 now, I'm not going to be so much inside, but it's all here. The Gemara tells us right in the middle, Ein marin lo la'adam elamei here hure libo. A lot of our dreams have to do with what we're thinking about during the day. What we're fantasizing about, what we're dreaming about, that's what we dream about. If I dream about being a millionaire, you know, what am I thinking about? What do I really wish for? So says the Kamotzi Shalal Rav, over and over again in the Sar HaMashkim's dream, what does he say? Paros Kos, Paros Kos. I wish I could give Paros Kos. I wish Yosef sees that this is a person who's dreaming to serve Paro again. Who's yearning to serve Paro again. Kos Paro, Kos Paro, Kos Paro. Yosef says, this is a servant. This is somebody who should get his position back. And therefore Yosef gives him a positive interpretation. The Sar HaOfim, what does he say? Yeah, my bread. One time he mentions Paro's bread. But Olam Mikan She'enav Einu Nesuos L'Sharei Sos HaMelech. He doesn't have any yearnings or desires to go back to being the baker. Kilo Machalim, he wants food, he's focused on. And therefore Yosef gives him a negative interpretation. Because there was nothing in his dream that showed Yosef that he really desired and dreamed of being that Eved that he used to be. What better way throughout our Seder of the Dalet Kosos to use Kos Paro, the four times, we yearn to be Hashem's Eved. We yearn to be back to the original feelings that we had in Yerushalayim. We had Yerushalayim Avnuya when all Jews were there. Just like the Mzara Mashkim yearned to be taken out of the jail, which we call Galus. See, that's the Dalet Kosos throughout the Seder. That's what we're trying to focus on. And the deeper meaning between the Dalet Kosos related to the four times that the Mzara Mashkim says, Kos Paro, Kos Paro. So he said at the bottom, okay. Kaddish Orchatz Karpas. We've spoken about Karpas in the past, not for now. Yachatz Magid. So we start Magid with Halach Ma'anya. Halach Ma'anya. Famous question that we've dealt with in the past. And that is, what are we doing inviting right now? What are we inviting for? If we really want to invite somebody, we should invite them in shul. Now the door's closed, we're not going to open it until after we bench. Oh, that's a great invitation. After we bench, and you can't eat anything else. You're not going to put anything else in your mouth. Okay, now we open the door. Oh, it's Eliyahu HaNavi. He's not interested really in eating. But here, the door's closed, so obviously it's not a real invitation. So we've spoken in the past, what exactly does it mean? Rav Soloveitchik has said that it's a reflection of being a free person. Because only the Baal HaBayis, only somebody free could extend invitations. So it's a simin of chayrus. Right? We're not really extending, but that's what we mean deep down. Other suggestions as well. In the Otros HaTorah Haggadah, he quotes the Chesed LaAvram, who has another pshat. And that is, quoting from the Shlach HaKadosh, we know what we yearn for, or what's really happening here, we should say, is there's an implicit tefillah. As we start the Haggadah, there's an implicit tefillah. What's the tefillah? Says the Shlach HaKadosh, we wish that we would have something else on the table that we're missing. We have everything. We have matzah. We have maror. But we're missing the centerpiece. We're missing the Karban Pesach. If you remember the halachas of Karban Pesach, one of the halachas is we have to be appointed before Pesach. Before the animal is shechted on Erev Pesach, everybody has to have a group. Everybody's got to be on a team. Everybody's got to be on a team. If it's already shechted, it's too late. We have to be appointed beforehand. So at the beginning of our Seder, you know why we invite? Who wants to come? We're emphasizing our pain. Look, we can still invite people even right now. Erev Pesach's done. We already sat down at the Seder. We don't have a Karban Pesach. We don't have to have appointed groups beforehand. Who wants to come now? Come on. It's expressing our pain that this is what we're doing now, but you know what? We wish we couldn't do this. We wish we wouldn't be able. We wish we would all be appointed beforehand. That's the Shlach HaKadosh. Sha'anu ata lo kizman shebeis hamikdash kayam shelo hayu ochlim ela haminuyim b'shul Karban Pesach. El ata motur lavor l'kol mi she'yirtzeh. Whoever wants to come could come. So yes, on the surface, it's many different interpretations that we've given, but implicitly, we're expressing, right? What does the Gemara say? It's a key, and we have to start with our pain and our gnus and our feeling of avdus. Hashata hacha. That fits into the end of the paragraph also. What are we davening about Yerushalayim for? Because that's what implicitly is being meant. Now we're here. L'shan abab ha'aret Yisrael. And not just in Eretz Yisrael with the Beis HaMikdash. And that's what we're doing with all of our invitations. Halach ma'anya. Manishtana. Moving right along. Manishtana halayla zeh mikol halaylos. Just remember, this is a question and a statement together. It's a question, Manishtana halayla zeh, why is this night different than all other nights? That's the simple interpretation. But if you're medayik in the language of the Rambam, and the Aruch HaShulchan points this out, according to the Rambam, it's not only a question, but it's a statement. Because the Rambam says, V'kan haben shoel, the son asks, Va'omer hakore manishtana halayla hazeh mikol halaylos. According to the Rambam, it's clearly a statement as well. And the Aruch HaShulchan says, just like Ma Rabu Ma'asecha Hashem is also a statement. It's not a question. How great are God's creations? Manishtana halayla hazeh. How awesome and unique and different is this night? Manishtana halayla hazeh. But in any case, Rabbi Jonathan Sacks, chief rabbi in his Haggadah, points out, Manishtano. We prep the kids beforehand. This is what the Seder's about. Manishtano. Maybe it's about the Afikomen too, which we'll get back to that about Shem Shabbos Haggadah. But Manishtano, what's the focus on getting the kids involved? There's so much focus on this night. Everybody is assigned a different part of the Seder, who's going to give it to our Torah, and who's going to have this paragraph, and who's that paragraph. And Manishtana is the symbol of the kids asking the questions. So yes, it's a great educational tool to get them involved, but maybe there's something a little deeper. Says Rabbi Sacks, quoting on the bottom left, the Torah has two words, on page 6, the Torah has two words for inheritance, Yerusha and Nachala. Yerusha and Nachala means inheritance. The Torah is also called the Yerusha and the Nachala. What's the difference between Yerusha and Nachala? Says Rabbi Sacks, Nachala is from the word Nachal, to river. A river that flows downstream. The bottom of the riverbed accepts all the water. All the water flows down to it, and it accepts it, so to speak, without being actively involved at all. That's what Nachala symbolizes. When a father gives a Nachala, is manchil. Or the Mishnah Baal Basra talks about manchil and nochel. When a father is manchil to his son, the Nachala, the father is the active party, the child just gets it. The inheritance, boom, it doesn't do anything. He's passive, totally passive. But then there's Yerusha. Yerusha is from the word lahorish, to conquer. Yerusha is when a father, a parent, passes something on and the child is an active recipient. An active player in getting what is being given to him. He doesn't just sit there passively like the bottom of a river. Torah is passed down in two ways. Torah is a Nachla and Torah is a Yerusha. There's some elements of Torah that we're just given. We're passive, we accept from our parents and our grandparents and our Rebbeim, and we get it. But we don't just believe in Nachla. We believe in Yerusha, or Morasha, as the Torah and Eretz Yisrael are called. Active participation by the recipient. Active listening. Being part of the process. Like we like to quote the Kutzker, Moshe Rabbeinu went up to the Har Sinai, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Alei Alei Harve Yesham. Go up the mountain and be there. What do you mean? He goes up the mountain, he's there. No, go up the mountain and be there. You could be on the mountain and you're not there. I could be in the shir and I'm not there. I'm physically there, but I'm not there. Go on the mountain and be there. Take an active part in the Matan Torah that I'm going to give you, Moshe Rabbeinu. Ve'yesham. And if this is what we believe in the whole year, maybe the greatest night of the year that we try to get our children and everybody at the Seder actively involved is the night of the Seder. And that's symbolized by Manishtana, to getting the children, ourselves, to ask questions, not just to take it, but to be involved. Nachla versus Yerusha. Nachla versus Yerusha. Manishtana. In the continuation, we're not going to read this right now, but feel free to look at the continuation, where Rabbi Sacks parallels the Manishtana, the four questions, to the four sons, which we'll get to later. I gave that to you, that's on page 7. But we will leave that for now. Manishtana. We continue now with the answer. If that wasn't the answer, page 8. Avadim hayinu l'paro b'mitzrayim. We were avadim in Mitzrayim. On the top is from Elazar ben Azariah, but in the we're going to say a thought on the bottom. The end of avadim hayinu, we have the line v'chol amarbe l'saper hareze mishubach. Whoever is marbe, whoever talks about HaKadosh Baruch Hu's greatness a lot, HaRezeh Meshubach. It's praiseworthy. Two questions on that line. Two questions. Question one, which is not on your page. There is a Gemara in Brachas, on Daf Lamed Gimel, where there was once a chazan who was davening in Rabbi Chanina Shul. And he went to Milachai, he said, I have the Yomid, I have Yard Side. Okay, good. It's Yard Side. He starts saying Shmon Esrei. And he gets up there. Hakel, Hagadol, Hagibra, Vanora, Ha'aziz, Hayarui, amazing, wonderful, awesome, tremendous. All the adjectives in the book. Rabbi Chanina waits till he's finished, which is interesting. Doesn't stop him in the middle. And he goes over to him and says, you finish? Siyamtinu l'kula shivcha demare? You got it all? You captured HaKadosh Baruch Hu's essence with all of your adjectives and superlatives? You know, you added on 14 more than we always say? The Gemara doesn't say he had an answer. Probably had a sheepish look of, you know, embarrassment. And Rabbi Chanina continues and says, we're only allowed to say four words because it's a pasuk in Sefer Dvarim. Hakel Agadol Hagibra Vanora. That's it. If Moshe Rabbeinu wouldn't have said them, we wouldn't have been able to say them. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu said them. This is our model. This is our precedent. So we're allowed to use those words. But Rabbi Chanina was very upset at him because sometimes when it comes to praising God, Kol HaMosif Goreya. When it comes to talking about God's greatness, if we start using our own words, we're never gonna finish. That's where Salvation's unbelievable ha'ara, why we say Aleinu at the end of every davening. Think about what Aleinu means. Aleinu l'shabeach l'adon Hashem. It's upon us. Aleinu l'shabeach, to praise l'adon called to the master of the world. Shouldn't that be at the beginning of davening? Aleinu l'shabeach, and here we go. At the end of davening, we say Aleinu l'shabeach. So Salvation says, no, that's the point. We daven whatever we daven, but before we leave, we acknowledge that we can never finish. And we say Aleinu l'shabeach at the end of the davening because Hashem, we're human beings, we have a lot to do, we have to live our lives, we have to go make a parnasa, but that's why we say Aleinu at the end of davening. Or he also says, like, Adon Olam Yigdal. It's as if we have to start again. Right? Because it's like we didn't even say anything. So with that background, Kol Amar B'Lasapa Harizah Meshubach, well, isn't that a violation of this story? What do you mean, Kol Amar B'Harizah Meshubach? No! This would be a specific formula. This is what you say and nothing else. Nothing more. Why is this night different? Secondly, similar question, but it's a second one. Meshech Chachma has this Ha'ara. This is from the Ksav Sofer on page 8. But the Meshech Chachma has the Ha'ara, which we mentioned in other contexts. In Parshas beginning of Parshas B'chukosai, the Meshech Chachma discusses two Gemaras. The Gemara in Brachas Daf Dalet, where the Gemara says, if I say Ashrei every single day, I'm a Ben Olam Haba. Kol Omer Tilo David B'chol Yom Ari Zeh Ben Olam Haba. Unbelievable Ashrei. If I say Ashrei three times a day, and the Pnei Yeshua there says, doesn't mean if you say it, if you feel it, if I say it with Kavana. That's one Gemara. And yet the Gemara elsewhere says, if I say Halil HaGadol every day, Hod L'Hashem Kidok Kinam Chasso Yom Ari, all of the Kilom Chassos that we say every Shabbos morning, I'm a blasphemer. It's terrible. I'm cursing God. What's the difference between saying Ashrei, which talks about God's greatness, and saying Halagado, which also, what's the difference? So the Meshech Chachma says, Ashrei is about HaKadosh Baruch Hu B'teva. Hashem feeds us all, Poseach es Yodecha, Karov Hashem L'chol Karov. Halal HaGadol is about Nisim and miracles. If I say Halal HaGadol every day, it's as if I'm acknowledging that Hashem is only responsible for the miraculous in my life. But the day-to-day natural, Teva, so then if I only say Halal HaGadol, it would give the impression that there's Mother Nature and then there's God takes care of the miraculous. Says the Meshech Chachma, that's why Ashrei is amazing. Because that's focusing on God's natural side, so to speak. So again, we come back. Kol Amar B'Lasaper HaRezeh Meshubach. So how could we spend so much time talking about Yetzias Mitzrayim and the Makos and Kriyas Yamsuf, which is all focused on tonight? Says the Ksav Sofer, one phrase answers both questions. We are going through it. If we're remembering something, if we're talking about a different event, that would be a problem. But when it's Ki'ilu Hu Yatza Mitzrayim, when we are going through the process, when we have to feel as if it's us. B'shas ha'neis. B'shas ha'neis, there's no limit. There's no limit if somebody goes through an experience in terms of what they are allowed to express to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's what he says on the bottom left. In ba'alma eino ratzui laharbos b'shevach al nisim shelo k'derech ha'teva hari b'zman ha'neis mi shemar b'l'shevach harezeh mishupach. This is b'shas ha'neis. Maybe the only time of the year. Not for now, but this is also why, we mentioned in other contexts also, why the halal at the Seder is a rule breaker. Right? Usually you have to stand up for halal, and we say halal sitting down. Usually you have to say halal altogether. We break it up with a meal in the middle. Right? Usually you say a bracha on halal. Hey, we don't say a bracha. It's a rule breaker. Maybe because this is a different type of hallel. It's a natural outpouring of emotion that it's not a formal type of feelings. And therefore, it's a rule breaker here. Kalamar belasaper hareze meshubach. Okay. Moving right along. Maisa, the story of the five great rabbis. Page 9. Until the students came, Higiyas Makriyash Bashal Shachris. So many questions we've dealt with in the past. Why they all come to Bnei Brak, which is the town of Rabbi Akiva. He was the most positive, mentioned in the past, the Aruch HaShulchan. Why didn't they realize it was the time for Kriya Shema? Right, it was a dark house, or maybe there was a fire around them, so it was all light. But it's just a story that's in the Haggadah of Rav Shradron, who's the Magid. All the Rabbi Pesach Kron books about the Magid is about Rav Shradron. So there's a story in there about him. On this paragraph. It says towards the end of Rav Shradron's life, he had a certain type of illness, and he had a second brain operation. And he was in the hospital for a couple of days, and then finally came out of the hospital. He goes to his daughter's house, and he comes back in the afternoon, and at some point, doesn't say, and he went to sleep, and he slept, and he slept, and he slept. And it was the next morning, and he was still sleeping. And they didn't know how to wake him, not to wake him. You know, it's Shachris, Kriya Shema. So they didn't know what to do. Saba was still sleeping. So they go lightly into the room. Saba, Saba, Dafakti ala smicha. I whispered. Nothing's working. It's not waking up. Not waking up. Saba, it's time to get up. Saba, you okay? Finally, the daughter says, no, you don't know how to wake him. She goes into the room, goes into his ear and says, Saba, it's not Kriya Shema. He jumps out of bed. He jumps. He's like, what? He gives not Kriya Shema Shal Shachris. When we define ourselves, when that's our mahus, our neshama knows it. Inside, that's going to wake us up. In the recesses of his brain, he was on one wavelength. He was on. It was like dogs hear certain things that nobody else hears. So he didn't hear anything. He heard one thing. So as we get to a state, you know, at some of the Talmidim who were close to Rav Soloveitchik say that when they went to him towards the end of his life, and he really wasn't coherent, they would go just next to his bed, and he would just be saying over Rambam. Just saying Mishnah Torah by heart. That was the Mahus. He gives my Kriya Shema Shel Shachris. Rav Shradron. That's what woke him up. Okay. So Ma'aseh Rav Elazar, we did. Amar Rav Elazar ben Azariah. Hare ani kiven shivim shana. Rav Elazar ben Azariah is 18 years old, but his beard turned white overnight. So he is like kiven shivim shana. We know this first half of the story in Maseches Brachos, Daf Chav Zayin, where Rav Elazar ben Azariah was just appointed the chief rabbi, the Nasi, and the Machlokas is quoted. Remember, this paragraph is about the mitzvah of Zechiras Yitzias Mitzrayim, which we have every single day of our lives, day and night. The reason we say the third parsha of Kriya Shema is not because we have a mitzvah to talk about tzitzis every day. We have a mitzvah to wear tzitzis every day. The reason we say the third paragraph is because of the last pasuk. Ani Hashem Elokeichem Asher Hotzi Yitzchem Eretz Mitzrayim. Liyosachem Elohim Ani Hashem Elokeichem. Right, that we say that twice a day. Machlokas Rambam Ramban, whether that's one or two mitzvos, but that's the mitzvah of Zechiras Yitzias Mitzrayim. Every single day. We say it in short. We don't have to go in depth. No questions or answers. We just say it. Once a year, we have the mitzvah of Sipur Yitzias Mitzrayim. Right, so the whole night is Sipur. But to help us appreciate the Sipur, we have one paragraph about Zechiras Yitzias Mitzrayim. That's in this paragraph. Whereas we know we have the machlokas between Ben Zoma and the Chachamim. Ben Zoma says, how do I know that there's a mitzvah of Zechiras Yitzias Mitzrayim at night as well? Not only by day. Yemei Chayecha Hayamim. Kol Yemei Chayecha Halelos. The word kol includes the night. Good. V'chachamim Omrim. And that's what we hold. We hold like Ben Zoma. The Chachamim say Yemei Chayecha is Olam Hazeh. Kol Yemei Chayecha is to include Yemos HaMashiach. Question. Asked, this is in the Haggadah v'Talmudo b'Yado. Question. We pass on like the first opinion. Kol Yemei Chayecha, as we know, we say Kriya Shema at night. V'chimi Heichan, on the right side, asked Rav Yonis and Ibishitz. Kol Yemei Chayecha is used up to teach us that there's a mitzvah at night. So, according to Rabbi Ben Azariah, who holds like Ben Zoma, which is what we hold, so how do we know that there's going to be a mitzvah of Zechirat Yetzias Mitzrayim in the future when Mashiach comes? Only the Chachamim use coal to teach me that. But according to what we paskin, where's the how do you know there's going to be a mitzvah of Zechira? Be'ezra Mashiach is going to come tomorrow. How do we know there's going to be a mitzvah of Zechirat Yetzias Mitzrayim at night? Two opposite answers. Rav Yonis and Eibishitz and Rav Yecheskel Abramsky. Says Rav Yonis and Eibishitz, there's a machlokes in the Gemara in Meseches Nida, Daf Samach Aleph, whether mitzvos will be betelos la'asid lavo or not. Are we going to have regular mitzvos in the future? The Rambam writes, we're not going to really know about this until it happens. So we shouldn't spend too much time thinking about this, but we'll just mention it quickly in one Dvar Torah tonight. But says the Gemara, it's a machlokes. Says Rav Yonis and Eibishitz, it must be that we hold, Rav Elazar ben Azariah holds, that mitzvos are not going to be batel la'asid lavo. So you don't need a separate source to teach me that this mitzvah is going to last in the future. All mitzvahs are going to last in the future. Why do you need a pasuk to teach me that this mitzvah is going to be in the future? Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim. That must be like the other manda amar. That mitzvahs will be betelos la'asid lavo. But we hold that mitzvahs will not be batel la'asid lavo. So you don't need a makar. Says Rav Yonis and Eibishitz. But then there's an opposite suggestion from Rav Yecheskel Abramsky, who says, no, wait a minute. There's a very famous question in the world of this sugya, this topic, Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim. If you look through the entire list of mitzvahs of the Rambam, all 613, you'll find Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim, but you will not find Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim. It's not there. One of the mysteries, there are a number of well-known mysteries on the Rambam's 613, why does he leave certain mitzvahs out? This is one of them. Remembering Yetzias Mitzrayim every day, it's not on the Rambam's list. Where is it? So, various answers given. Says Rav Yecheskel Abramsky, well, maybe this is an answer. Maybe the Rambam holds like Rav Elazar ben Azariah, as we know. There's a mitzvah at night. But you know what the Rambam says? When Mashiach comes, there's not going to be a mitzvah of Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim. The ultimate geula is going to be so awesome, amazing, unbelievable. We're going to talk about Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim? We're going to talk about Mashiach. We're going to talk about the ultimate geula. And the Rambam holds that if a mitzvah is not eternal, it's not counted as one of the 613. Right? There's no mitzvah d'oraisa that's counted that we're not supposed to leave our houses at the night of the Seder. Or we're not supposed to go up to Har Sinai. Or we're not allowed to split up Mary out of the Shevet. Those were all temporary mitzvos. So maybe that's why the Rambam doesn't count it. Because it's not going to be a mitzvah in the future. And that's why you don't need a makar, because there is no makar. It's not going to be true. Okay, moving right along. Baruch HaMakom, Baruch Hu, Baruch Shana Santar Alamo Yisrael. One of the new Haggadahs that came out this year, the Haggadah of the Shemen HaTov, page 11. Rabbi Weinberger, Young Israel of Williamsburg. Says the Shemen HaTov, it's fascinating, if you look in the Torah, the name HaMakom for Hashem never appears. Hashem is never called HaMakom in the Torah. Right? In Chazal, right, we have that phrase. But never in the Torah is Hashem called HaMakom. The one hint in the Torah that Hashem might be called HaMakom is by the Akedah. Doesn't really mean Hashem, but maybe you could push it in. Where it says that Avram Avinu saw the Makom from afar. When he saw the cloud. Right on the second, third line. By Maisa Akedah, by Yom HaShlishi, by Yis Avram Ezeinah, by Yar Es HaMakom Meirachok. And the Zohar there says it's talking about Hashem. That's the closest we'll get to having Hashem called HaMakom in the Torah. And the question, we've talked about this a number of years ago from Rav Schwab, similar idea, but we'll quote it here from the Shemen HaTov. What does the name HaMakom mean? Why and why Dafke is it used here in this context as a precursor, as an introduction to the Dalet Banim, which is what Baruch HaMakom is. Baruch Shalom Zerol HaMa Yisrael, Keneged HaBa Banim Dibre Torah. So what is HaMakom and how does it parallel? Says the Chidush HaRim, the Zeba Lahagdil HaNisayun Shal Akeda Elef Pa'amim. You know what HaMakom means? HaMakom is always the name of God that is used when somebody feels distant from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. When somebody feels so far, after all, the two places we have HaMakom are by a Shiva house, HaMakom Yirachem Eschem, because the person feels distant, he just lost a relative, and in Achenu, which we say Mondays and Thursdays. People in Tsaris. Hamakom is the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu that is used when we feel distant from Hashem. And the nechama given is that Hashem is everywhere. Hamakom, the place. Hashem is everywhere. Baruch Kvod Hashem Mim Komo. This place is the whole world. Aye Mekom Kvodo, the whole world. That's Hamakom. So Avram Avinu felt so far from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. My whole life I'm doing chesed. I'm spreading your word and now you're telling me to kill my son? He felt so far. That's why HaMakom, as he sees the Makom. It's so far. He's so distant. But the message of HaMakom is that he's not so far. And even though on the surface, we don't feel it, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu was so close. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu was holding Avram's hand. And HaMakom was, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was behind the scenes in Mitzrayim as well. Says the Shemen HaTov, as we get into the Dalet Banim, and we have different boys, different children, who all are different levels, different distances away from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We say, HaMakom, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, wants to be near all of you. It might seem distant. You all have questions. We all have questions. But we have a makom leading into all the different types so that we realize that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is there for us to learn from and there to take us through the Seder with us. Okay. Moving right along. The Dalet Banim, as we have spoken about, let's go first, I'm going to just go out of order for a minute. Let's go to 13 and then we'll come back to 12. Because 13 is about the Chacham and 12 is about the Rasha. First the Chacham, page 13. Remember, mentioned about 10 years ago or so, Rav Aaron Soloveitchik's thought about the Dalet Banim, that it's really four stages of our own development. So if you look in the logic of the heart, logic of the mind, where he has a beautiful piece relating to the Dalet Banim. Says Rav Moshe Feinstein, in the Haggadah put out with Rav Moshe's Torahs, page 13. So what does the Chacham ask? Ma ha'edus v'achukim asher tziva Hashem Elokeinu eschem. What are these laws that Hashem taught you? And what do we answer him? We say, afata. We give him all the halachas. Adem aftir nachar bezach v'komen. We give him a full answer. What are these laws? We'll give you an answer. Says Rav Moshe, we know all these four questions are psukim in the Torah. From different places, from different areas. If you look in the Torah, in Sefer Dvarim, when the Chacham, in Dvarim, Perek Vav, Pasuk Chaf and Chaf Aleph, if you want to look it up, the question of the Chacham, what's the next Pasuk in the Torah? Avadim Hayinu L'Par B'Mitzrayim. That's different than the answer that we give him. Answer Moshe, our answer I understand. The Chacham asks, what are these laws? And we answer him. We give him a lot of halachas. But in the Torah, the answer to the Chacham's question is, Avadim Hayinu, the power of Mitzrayim. How does that answer his question? That we were servants, Jewish history. He wants to know what to do. He wants to know the halacha. Why do we have to teach him emuna? Why do we have to teach him about Jewish history? Why does he need to know the story? Says Rav Moshe Feinstein, source 13. Page 13. It's impossible to study Torah, to learn Torah, to try to think of an answer to a question that we have if we don't have the proper perspective about the Mesorah and about our shalsheles of halacha. If I want to answer something, and I want an answer to something, I ask a question. We've all had conversations with people who maybe aren't as initiated in the corpus, in the world of halacha. What do we have to keep this for? What is this about? I don't understand this. This doesn't make sense. Oh, this minhag, this. If there's no backbone, if there's no foundation of emuna, of believing in Jewish history, that we are a chain in the Mesorah of this unbelievable shalshelis, going back to Moshe Rabbeinu, and we're just part of it, then we can view halacha as, I'm going to try at most to understand what I can understand. If I can't understand it, I'll do it anyway. Because the chisaron is in me. The chisaron is not in the mesorah, the chisaron is in me. Oh, the reason doesn't apply anymore. The chisaron is in me. From somebody who is a Baal HaMesorah, who has Avadim Ayinu, Bar Mesorah, Hashem took us out and gave us the Torah. We need that backbone, that foundation, in order to then delve into halacha. Like we've quoted many times, first comes Ein Kelokeinu, and then comes Mikelokeinu. Right, we ask the questions once we have a base. It's so dangerous for someone to start analyzing and enveloping themselves in questions. If they don't get answers to those questions, we're going to throw it all away. Chas v'shalom. We have emuna. So says Rav Moshe, the two answers dovetail perfectly. The Torah of Avadim Ayinu. We need that answer. Once we have Avadim Ayinu, then we can go into all the halachas. Afata emar lo kilchus Pesach, all the way until Eim Aftir Nachra Pesach Afikom. That's a thought on the Chacham. We'll just do two of the sons this year. And we move over to the Rasha. Page 12. Haggadah's Kol Aryeh. One of our listeners mailed to me this Haggadah this year. I thank him, and I said I would use it. So here it is. Rasha Mahu Omer. So Rasha Mahu, what is this Avodah that you're doing? And the answer we give him is we knock out his teeth and we say, if you would have been there, you wouldn't have been redeemed. That's pretty harsh. Pretty harsh. Ilu hayasham lo hayanigal. How are we supposed to understand that? So he quotes a mashal. Quotes a mashal from the Chida, quotes from Rav Chaim Vital. It's really a mashal on a pasuk in Yisro. If you look on the fourth line or so. Vayisaper Moshe l'chosno. Moshe tells his father-in-law, Es kol asher asah Hashem l'paro l'mitzrayim. Everything that Hashem did to Paro and to Mitzrayim, Al odot Yisrael, everything that happened to the Jews, Es kol atzla asher misasam baderech vayatzilei Hashem. It's a very verbose, wordy pasuk. It's like a run-on sentence. He tells his father-in-law everything that Hashem did to Paro and to Mitzrayim regarding the Jews, all the worry that they found him in the derech vayatzilei Hashem. Vayatzilei Hashem, Hashem saved them. He gives a mashal. Imagine there was a king. Most mashalim either have kings or are richer than a poor man. So, there's a king, and there was a subject of the king that was taken captive by another king. And he's trying to convince the other king to give him back, get him back, the captive. And the other king, instead of giving back the captive, starts insulting the first king. What are you talking about? You think I'm going to give you back this captive? Got another thing coming, forget it. You wouldn't be able to defeat a fly. Starts insulting him. After that, the first king says, yeah, that's how you act. And he goes and he fights, goes to war, and he conquers the first king and he gets his captive back. That's the story. How do we know if the reason that the king went to war was because of his special love for the captive or because he just got insulted? And he was very upset that, how could you say that about me? How do you know what the real true reason is? Why he went to war? Was he insulted or he really loves this? It depends what happens afterwards. After he frees the captive, does the relationship continue? Does the king and the captive talk to each other regularly? Do they continue the relationship? If yes, then you know it was because he loves the captive. It was just because he was insulted, so he freed him. Okay, finished. Nothing to do with you. Says Moshe Rabbeinu to his father-in-law, Hashem redeemed us from Egypt. Was that because Paro said things about HaKadosh Baruch Hu that were inappropriate, to say the least? Me Hashem! I don't know him! So it's insulting him. Why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu redeem the Jews? Why did he was easiest Mitzrayim? Because he loves us? Or because he was just upset at Paro? Let's read the pasuk now. Moshe says to his father-in-law, all that Hashem did to Paro to Mitzrayim, al odos Yisrael. How do you know? It had to do with the Jews? Because es kol atzla arash, or mitzvasam baderech, vayatzileim Hashem. Hashem keeps saving us. Kriyas Yamsuf, if Yisro came after Kriyas Yamsuf, right? Assuming that you know that relationship continues. That's how you know. One other factor, and then we'll have an answer to the Rasha and to the Pshat. We know in Makas Choshech, 4/5 of the Jewish people did not make it through that Makkah. Makas Choshech. Why would HaKadosh Baruch Hu have done that? Explains the Haggadah's Kol Aryeh. They didn't insult him. They didn't insult HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The only reason it must be that there was Makas Choshech, and so many Jews did not make it, was because HaKadosh Baruch Hu was interested in having a relationship with Am Yisrael. And therefore he was only taking out those who were able to have that relationship with him. The 2 million Jews that were left. 600,000 men and then the women and the children. The fact that Jews died during Makas Bechoros is also a reflection that the reason HaKadosh Baruch Hu took us out was because he wanted the relationship with us. Not because he was upset at Paro, because then it wouldn't have made a difference. The Rasha says, Ma ha'avoda hazos lachem. Now we go back to understand what the Rasha was saying. You know, I don't need this. You know, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has a special relationship with us. He's not interested in the special relationship. What do we tell him? If you would have been there, you wouldn't have gotten out. Because that's the whole purpose of Yetzias Mitzrayim. We're not just insulting him. We're not saying a sharp, oh, you wouldn't have made it. No. The you wouldn't have made it is a reflection that the whole purpose of Yetzias Mitzrayim wasn't just to punish them. It was to have a relationship with us and to love us. And Russia, you don't understand that. You don't understand that. Maha avoda azos lachem. Okay. There's so much more on the Dalet Banim, but I said I will try to keep to the packet. Yochel Mei Rosh Chodesh. You might have thought, page 14, you might have thought that the mitzvah of Sipur should apply for Rosh Chodesh. Tamalom Rabbi Yamahu. No, only that day, only Erev Pesach. Erev Pesach. You might have thought, Erev Pesach, really, like what I just said? No, Bavur Zeh. Bavur Zeh lo amarti yelo b'shosh yish matzah umar min olav arecha. Only when matzah umar in front of us. Again, we ask, what was the Havamina, what was the Maskana? Why would I have thought? There's no other time when we would have thought that a mitzvah would start before the holiday. There's no Havamina to sit in a sukkah before Sukkot, or to blow shofar before Rosh Hashanah. No other yontif like this. There's a Havamina? Oh, I would have thought! So the Havamina, Pashtus is, this is a very challenging mitzvah. To feel as if we went out of Egypt? That's very, very hard. Right, the Briska Rav said is the hardest mitzvah of the year. Ki'ilu hu yatsa mi Mitzrayim. Parenthetically, we mentioned a few months ago on Sukkot, in my sukkah, the Gra argued. He said that the hardest mitzvah is not Sibritzias Mitzrayim. What did the Gra say? Simchas Yantif. Of a week straight, not to get upset, 24/7 for 1 week, not to feel a moment of disappointment or anger or anything, any down. We have ups and downs. A week of no downs? Nobody gets upset at anybody? The week that all the kids are home and we're going on trips and everybody's on top of each other? That week, there's a mitzvah of Simchas Yantif? Says the Vilna Gaon. That's impossible. I'm sure the Gra didn't go on so many trips but even so, the Gra says that's like impossible. But it's not. It's a mitzvah. Simchas Yantif. Okay, the Gra said that was the hardest mitzvah. But either way, it's a hard mitzvah. So what's the Havamina? Start as early as we can to get into it. To try to realize, you know, what it's all about. Okay, that's the Havamina. So what's the Maskana? Why don't we do that? Why is the mitzvah only B'shar Sheish Matzah Umar Munach Lefanecha? Says Rabbi Lau in his Haggadah, as he writes it in Hebrew, one picture is worth 1,000 words. He writes it on the bottom. Tmuna achat ma'bia li'itim yoter me'elef milim. We are a people, human beings. We are visual learners. And when we see something in front of us, it makes so much of a difference. Right? Why is there something called show and tell in the younger grades? Because when you see it, when it's there in front of me, it makes so much more of a roshem. If I talk about something, no, when I have the props, when I have matzah and maror and dippings, that's so much easier and deeper of a learning tool. And the Torah knows that. The Torah knows the best way to get Sipur is when you have the Chefzas Shel Mitzvah in front of us. And that's why, okay, you might think, start early, no. Wait till you have the matzahs and the maror, and you have the physical involvement in the mitzvos. Yochol Meresh Chodesh, L'maskane, it's not. Mitzchilo Obdei Avodah Zarah Hayu Avoseinu, going to page 15. Originally, our forefathers were Obdei Avodah Zarah, V'yachshav Kervono Makom Avodaso, and now HaKadosh Baruch Hu has brought us close. Right, this is the kiyum. When we say this paragraph, we should announce it to say there. This is the fulfillment of the machlokas Rav and Shmuel. We paskin like both Rav and Shmuel. What does the Mishnah mean? When we say maschil begnus, so mesayim b'shvach, we have to start off with our low points and end up with our high points. Machlokas Rav and Shmuel, and we do both. The physical or the spiritual story. So we start both avadam ayinu and mitchil avodoy avodah zarah hayu avoseinu. The physical low points and the spiritual low points. So we already said avadam ayinu. That was the physical low points. And now we have mitchil avodoy avodah zarah hayu avoseinu. Says Rav Pinkus in his classic Rav Pinkus way. Rav Pinkus' yard site is this week. As we know, he was killed, Rachmanis, on a car accident only a couple days before Pesach. Rav Pinkus, about 10 or 15 years ago, says Rav Pinkus in his Agada Teferes Shimshon, it's hard for us to imagine Avodah Zarah. As we know, the Gemara tells us that they even abolished, they killed the Yetzirah for Avodah Zarah. We can't fathom wanting to bow down to a tree. And to believe that physical items have power over me. It doesn't make any sense to us. The Gemara says that one of the Amoraim was even giving shir once. And one of the great kings, one of the wicked kings, appeared to him in a dream and said, if you lived in my time, you would have run after me by my coattails to worship. But we can't fathom it. Mitzchi Avdoi Avodah Zarah. Says Rav Pinkus, so it's our job to relate it to ourselves. Because there is Avodah Zarah in our lives as well. If you turn over the page for a minute. Page 16. When Yaakov Avinu was fighting with the Malach in Parshas Vayishlach, the Saros Shel Esav, and Yaakov is about to win, and he says, what's your name? He says, I can't tell you. Fupeli. What do you mean he can't tell him? Every Malach has a name. Raphael, Gavriel. Right, every right, Uriel, every malach has a name. Why could he? Who was this malach? The Sarah Shalesov, who Yetzahara, who Satan, who Malach Hamaves? It's all the same being. Every generation has a different Yetzahara of Sarah Shalesov. There's no one identifying feature. The Yetzahara of 300 years ago, of 200 years ago, of even 20 years ago, is not the same. As we all know, we live in such a different time period. Then, right, we grew up in a different time period that our children grew up in. Even 10 years ago. It's such a different world. And that's why, said the Malach to Yaakov Avinu, in the middle of the page, Ein lanu shem kavua, mishtanin shmosenu, hakol lefi mitzvos avodas hashlichos she'anu mishtalchim. Originally, I used to be Avodah Zarah. Then I became Big Three Averis. Then I became Sinas Chinam. I'm still Sinas Chinam. Right, that one's going pretty well. So I'm sticking with that one. And there are others throughout our life. And we have to realize that whatever we have, whatever our focus is, it must be HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the middle. The goal of life is to be an Eved Hashem. And if there's anything in life that's more important to us than that, then that's Avodah Zarah. If there's anything that we're more loyal to than our relationship with Hashem, so that, says Rav Pinkus, in a very sharp formulation. But that's what Avodah Zarah is. There's Avodas Hashem, and if we serve any other item, any other idea, Mitchilo Avdei Avodah Zarah Hayu Avoseinu, we have to make sure there's no Avodah Zarah in our lives, says Rav Pinkus. Okay. Weiter. Baruch Shomer Haftachaso LiYisrael. Praised is HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who kept his promise. She chishev es haketz. He was machashev the ketz, and he gave Eretz Yisrael to Am Yisrael. Okay, we've quoted in the past, what's so great that Hashem kept his promise? Any person who doesn't keep his promise is not pretty dishonest. Okay. In this Haggadah, in Rabbi Lam's Haggadah, I have two thoughts from Rabbi Lam this year. Rabbi Lam's Haggadah, he discusses, what is the connection between the beginning of this paragraph and the end of the previous paragraph. We talk about HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us Eretz Yisrael, who is Machashiv the Kates, Bris Ben Abasarim, V'Achrin Yezim Rechush Gadol. And the end of the previous paragraph, where he talks about Esav. Esav makes it into the Haggadah. V'Olecheschem, quoting Psukim in the end of Yoshua, V'Olecheschem, B'chol Eretz Kenan, V'Arbe Zaro, V'Etin Lo'ez Yitzchak, V'Etin Lo'ez Yitzchak, Yaakov as Esav, V'Etin Lo'ez Yitzchak as Arseir, L'Resh as Oso, V'Yaakov Vanav Yardim Mitzrayim, which led to Eretz Yisrael. So, Rabbi Lamb, what is the connection between these two paragraphs? So Rabbi Lamb suggests, if you read his words, the bottom, the author of the Haggadah reminds us that God gave Esav the Mount of Seir to inherit, but Yaakov and his sons went down to Mitzrayim. Why is this particular bit of historical information important to us? The Gemara tells us in Brachos that there are three items that are nicknames be Yisurin. And one of them is Eretz Yisrael. No nation is allowed to be zochet to Eretz Yisrael. Hashem promises unless they've been through the history that Am Yisrael has been through. The Bris Ben Abasarim, which says there's going to be terrible, difficult times. And then they're going to go up Rechush Gadol. If you don't go through those difficult times, then you're not zochet to this special land. Esav got Har Seir and he lived happily ever after. Am Yisrael went down to Mitzrayim. Eretz Yisrael is Niknes B'Yisurin. Barak Shomer Haftachasa. What's the Haftacha? The Haftacha was that Eretz Yisrael is only to a nation that first has Va'avadim V'inu Osam. Kadosh Baruch Hu put it into the Bria. Torah, Eretz Yisrael, Olam Haba. The three, Niknes B'Yisurin. If somebody thinks that it's easy to get any of those three, right, that they're not really Zochet to those presents. Three Matana Tovos. And that's the connection between the previous. We mentioned that Esav got Har Seir to emphasize that he's not Zoche to Eretz Yisrael because the promise was not fulfilled about his nation. And that is really our ultimate claim to Eretz Yisrael. Right? No matter what the other nations think, we've had more tzaras than any other nation, and therefore we get the promised land. Hashem promised it to us. Okay, V'hisha Amda. Moving right along. V'hisha amda l'avoseinu v'lanu. What's the v'hi? The simplest interpretation, even though there are 10 other drushas. V'hi is the promise that we were just talking about. V'hi is going back on Baruch Shomer. V'hi, it's this promise that has kept us alive throughout the generations. V'hisha amda l'avoseinu v'lanu. But there's a beautiful drush, total drush by the Sfas Emes here quoted in the Asapar Kvodecha Agada, page 18. You got to put a couple of commas in the paragraph. V'shandal avaseinu v'lanu, shelo echad, the fact that we're not one, we're not together, bilvad, just for that reason alone, omdim aleinu l'chal oseinu. That's why we have so many tzaras in our lives. If only Am Yisrael could be have achdus. If only all Jews could get along with each other. In the same neighborhood, in the same country, in the whole world. Shelo echad, bilvad, just that. Omdim aleinu l'chal oseinu. That's enough for us to lose the special hashkacha. Imagine how a parent feels. We all know when our children fight with each other. Right? We can't control, like, stop it. That's how Kodesh Baruch Hu feels. He sees his kids fighting with each other. He can't take it. The Meshech Chachma says in B'Shalach, Hashem hates those types of Averis much more than Ben Adam L'Makam Averis. Right? When the children are fighting, Shelo Echad Bilvad, just that, is enough that HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Omdim Aleinu L'Chal Oseinu, we have so many external tzaras. And along these lines as well, if you turn the page, Rabbi Lau also says, that's Pshad in the Pasuk. The part of the Haggadah that we usually pick up speed, because it's the Psukim, let's get to Dayenu, but the Psukim are also important. We have to focus on all parts of the Haggadah. Bimsei Ma'at, page 19, Kemoshe Ne'amar, B'Shivim, we went down with very few. As the Pasuk says, B'Shivim Nefesh, Yardu HaMasecha Mitzrayimah, we went down with 70. V'yata Samcha Hashem L'kecha Chvesh Ben L'Rov, and then we became as great as the stars. Shivim Nefesh, not Nefashos. Rashi quotes at the end of Sefer Bereishis. Nefesh is singular, because that's what Am Yisrael is. We're Nefesh Achas. Kol Yisrael Arevim Zelazeh. That's why if I did a mitzvah already, I could still make the bracha for you. Kuguf Echad. The language of the Ritva and Mesachas Brachas. We're like one guf. Kuguf Echad. Shalom Echad. Bilvad. Amar Aleinu L'Chalosein. Okay, if we turn the page, just the next pasuk, two thoughts on the psukim. Yor Chazaka, every phrase in the psukim, we darshin to mean, right, again, we're darshing psukim in Kisavo, and we're darshing, relating it back to Shmos. Yor Chazaka is Dever, Zro Anetuya is Cheref, all the psukim. Question, Zro Anetuya, as we just said, the Hashem's outstretched hand, Zu HaCheref, that's referring to the sword. Kamashin Amar, as the pasuk says, V'charbosh Lufa B'yadon Anetuya Yerushalayim. Where was there a sword in Egypt? I missed that makkah. Where was there a sword? Right? All the other psukim refer to swords and cheref. Right? There was no sword in Mitzrayim. Right? Where was the cheref? Right? Where did they kill each other? Where did Bnei Israel kill anybody? Dam, Svardeya, Kinim, Arav, Dever. Even by Kriyas Yamsuf. Right? Hashem did it. Hashem Yilachem Lachem Atem Tachrishun. Where was the sword? So the Medrash tells us in Tehillim, quoted here again in the Sapra Kavotcha, that when Makkah number 10 was announced, this is a Medrash, Achronim talk about it, but when Makkah number 10 was announced, and Paro says, tough, I'm not letting him out, all the firstborns in Mitzrayim went to Paro and said, you're crazy, we're all going to die. The first 9 came true, this one's going to come true too, and Paro says, no. You know what happened, says the Medrash? There was a civil war. The firstborns were like, let them go. We've had enough. We don't want to die. And the firstborn started killing Paro's government. They didn't get to Paro. That was the cheref. It was the civil war that took place before Makas Bechoros. Zu ha-cheref. And that's what we say every Shabbos morning. L'makei Mitzrayim bivchoreihem ki li olam chasto. Hashem smote Mitzrayim with their own firstborns. L'makei Mitzrayim bivchoreihem. That's cherev. That's the Zroa Netuya of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Also, this answers on the next page as we get into the Makos. A question that we never really dealt with before, but here in the Haggadah of the Baruch Sha'amar, the Torah Tamima in his Haggadah, he quotes, why is only the last Makkah called Makkah? Dam, Tzvardei, Akino, Makkas Bechoros. Why don't we say, Makkas Dam, Makkas Tzvardei, Makkah? Okay, it's too long, so just say Bechoros. Dam, Tzvardei, Akino, why do we say Makkas Bechoros? So he says, the Pasha Pshat is probably because all the other 9 are inherently bad things. The other 9, right? Blood, frogs, wild animals, pestilence, boils, darkness. Those are all pretty bad things. Firstborns? What's so bad about firstborns? Firstborns inherently, there's nothing wrong with them, right? I'm the youngest. I'm nothing against my older brother, right? Makas Bechoros. So Makas Bechoros. It was a Makkah. That's the simple interpretation. Simple interpretation of why it's Makkas Bechoros. But suggests, I'll get more, I don't think there's any more right now, but suggests the Baruch Sha'amar, maybe it's emphasizing, oh, over there. Suggests the Baruch Sha'amar, maybe it's alluding to this Makkah. It's the Makkah of the Bechoros. It wasn't just a Makkah of the Hashem hit the Bechoros. The Bechoros took part in the Makkah. It was the Makkah of the Bechoros. As a prelude to that, the firstborns helped out HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the Makkah. And that's what he says on the bottom left of page 21, Makkas Bechoros, it was both. It answers the Zroa Netuya Zeacherev, and it answers why it's called Makkas Bechoros. Okay, moving right along, one more thought on the Makkos. You already just had one more thought on the Makkos. And that is from Rav Mordechai Eliyahu's Haggadah, page 22-23. First he says you should go around with your family and ask them, you know, which Makkah do you think was the worst one? Why so? The Chulu. But then on the next page, on page 23, he just has a interesting Ha'ara, Mefarish, she quotes from the Rebbe of the Ben Ishchai, bottom right of page 23. Rebbe the Ben Ishchai, who quotes, based on earlier sources, just a Ha'ara. All the Makos, quotes the Zivchei Tzedek, first went to Am Yisrael for a couple of minutes. And then stopped. First went to Am Yisrael for a couple of minutes. Why? To make them feel it. Because only if you feel it, do you feel the salvation from it. Right? When we're feeling good, you don't really feel about feeling good. When do we feel good and we recognize that we feel good? After we were just sick in bed for 3 days. The next day, we feel good. And then 2 days later, we still feel good, but we don't recognize that we feel good. It's only after we've been through something that we recognize the salvation from the previous experience. So quotes the Zivchei Tzedek, that's what happened by every Makkah. For about 5 minutes, all their water turned to blood, and the frogs jumped on... Got to work this into the psukim. Maybe it means Hashem created a hafrada, but that was permanently, but for 5 minutes they went in. And he says, he even gives a mashal, another king mashal. He says, there was a king that sent his prince to a teacher to apprentice, teach him everything he has to know about being a king. And he teaches him about money and about decorum. And the king calls up and says, is he finished? He's like, yeah, he only has one more lesson. I'll send him back in a day or two. Fine. The guy takes him to the worst part of town. And he says, can I have your wallet? Takes his wallet. He says, leaves him the worst part of town. He's like, okay, I'll come back tomorrow. He's left there all alone. He has no place to sleep. He has to beg for food. He has nowhere to go. He doesn't know what to do. And he's running all over. And finally, the next day, he comes to pick him up. And he's like going crazy. He didn't sleep the whole night and this and that. Brings him back to his father. He's like, Daddy, you know what he did to me? Last night, he left me in the worst part of... It's like, why'd you do that to him? Because this is going to make him a better king. Because he understands what they're going through. He understands the lower level class of citizens in his country. That's going to make him a better king. The Jews had a deep appreciation of the Makos, explains the Zivchei Tzedek, because they had 5 minutes each of the Makos, not Makos Bechoros, but at least the first nine, so that they could really and truly appreciate it. Okay, moving right along. Dayenu. We get to back to Rabbi Jonathan Sacks, page 24. Page 24, why Dayenu, why so many details? So, we've quoted many times in the past, Dayenu is very specific because true recognition is always when one is specific. If I'm eating at somebody's house on Shabbos, oh, everything was great, thanks so much. The kugel and the chicken and the salad, the more specific I am, the greater feeling is given by me and the greater feeling that the host or the hostess feels. So when we tell a Kaddish Baruch Hu, thanks for everything, it was great. No, thanks for the man, and thanks for Shabbos, and thanks for Torah, thanks for... The more specific we are, the greater reflection of Hakaras HaTov that is. Dayenu. Says Rabbi Sacks another point. And this is a thought that we have to think about in a couple of months, every Shabbos. I'm sure it's bothered many of us. When we read Sefer Bamidbar, Bamidbar Naso Shlach Korach Chukas, we complain so much. Every parsha, we're complaining. And we're getting Hashem angry. And Moshe's like, what is with this people? We complain about bread. We complain about meat. We complain about water. After Korach gets swallowed up, what'd you do to him? We complained about everything. Says Rabbi Sacks, Dayenu is a tikkun. We thank about everything. Not that we're better, because we would have done the same thing that they did. But at least forevermore, Hashem, thank you for every step of the way. No complaints. Dayenu is a tikkun for Sefer Bamidbar. Bottom left. This song is a tikkun, a making right for the ingratitude of the Israelites in the wilderness. At almost every stage they complained. It is as if the poet was saying, when they complained, let us give thanks. Each stage was a miracle. Each would have been enough to convince us that there is a providence at work in our fate. Dayenu is a tikkun for that. And right after Dayenu, we get into Rabbi Gamliel Haya Omer, Kol Shelo Amar Shlosh Dvar Melu, whoever doesn't say these three things, Pesach Matzah Umar Lo Yasi Dechovasa. Why the importance? All the way at the end. This is like, everybody's like, okay, I'll quit, everybody, Rabbi Gamliel. Somebody's inside making sure the soup is hot. No, come in, Rabbi Gamliel, you gotta go, Shlo Yase Chavaso. Why such a focus on Rabbi Gamliel and the three? It's only at the end of Magid. Beginning of Magid is important. Why is it so important, these three things? Says Rabbi Lamb, in his Haggadah, the royal table, all other religions remember. The Jewish religion remembers and relives and reenacts and has a Toras Chaim. Our Torah is alive. It is not historical. It is not only historical, but it is personal. After talking about it for 2 hours, we then have to do it. We then have to act with it and reenact and point to the matzah and then eat the matzah and the maror and Meiri Bana Beis HaMikdash point to the Korban Pesach and eat the Korban Pesach. We declare that we too are participants in the Exodus story. The redemption was not only for our ancestors, but for ourselves as well. No longer are we historians. Now we are participants. We are ourselves involved with the great experience of the redemption. V'chulu. Rabbi Gamliel Haya Omer, don't leave it in theory. Don't leave it in history. We have to do it ourselves. We got to concretize it. Pesach, matzah, and maror. And then we go into the mitzvos. Just two more thoughts for the evening. One is page 26 from the Siach HaGrid from Rav Soloveitchik's Haggadah, Shulchan Aruch. So getting back to the Simanim. Everything is very unique to this night. Few things aren't so unique. Rachsa, we do Netilas Yadayim every time we wash. But Shulchan Aruch, is that so unique? Eat a meal. How is Shulchan Aruch usually translated in Haggadahs? Festive meal. What's so special about Shulchan Aruch? That has to be in the Simanim. Shulchan Aruch. What's special and unique? What's the Chiddush that Shulchan Aruch is in the Simanim? Says Rav Soloveitchik, there is a Machlokes Rishonim. And again, we don't have the Korban Pesach yet, so we got to talk about the Korban Pesach. We should do more Bez Hashem on Shabbos. Says Rav Soloveitchik, there's a Machlokes about when the Korban Pesach was eaten. Everybody agrees it was eaten at the end of the Seder, as the Afikomen. The Rambam holds that the Korban Pesach was eaten twice. A kezayis at the beginning of the meal, and a kezayis at the end of the meal. And obviously, the kezayis at the beginning of the meal does not have the halacha of you're not allowed to eat anything after the Korban Pesach, because you have your whole meal then. That's the chiddush of Shulchan Aruch. Shulchan Aruch is in the Simanim to teach us this halacha of the Rambam, that there's a whole meal here before you eat the last kezayis of the Korban Pesach. You have Korban Pesach, you have the first kezayis. But, left side of the page, Yeshlomer de Mesadar HaSimanim Shal HaSeder Sober Ka Rambam De Bizben HaBayis HaYochlim Korban Pesach Shtei Pa'amim V'zeh Shemutu Lechol Kakas Korban Pesach V'lo Nesar. Says that's a halacha of the Seder. You're allowed to eat after the Korban Pesach, the first one. But not the second one, and maybe that's alluded to in Shulchan Aruch. And then we have Tzafun, Barech, Hallel, and Nirtza. As we start off the last part of the Seder, what gets us into it right after we drink the third kos, we pour the fourth kos, and we're getting ready for the singing part of the Seder. We start off Nirtza after we drink the fourth cup with Chasal Seder Pesach. Chasal Seder Pesach El Chaso. What does that mean? Chasal Seder Pesach. We finished. We completed the Seder of Pesach according to the halacha. That's pretty boastful. Let's give ourselves a pat on the back. We did awesome. We did it. We did exactly what we were supposed to do. Chasal Seder Pesach Kehil Chaso. Perfect. Who says we did it perfectly? We hope we did it perfectly. Chasal Seder Pesach Kehil Chaso. K'chol mishpata v'chukaso. According to every mishpat and chok, we did it. And then we have a tefillah. Kasher zochinu l'sader oso, just like we were zochet v'misader it, kei nizka l'asoso. Just like we were misader it, so too we should do it. What's, we just said we did it. So in the Haggadah that I mentioned before, the Kol Aryeh is the following thought from the Chozem Milublin. The Chozem Milublin was once on his way to be Mekayim in the mitzvah of Bris Mila. He's going to be a Moel, and for some reason, he wasn't able to go. The car, the wagon broke down, whatever it was, and all of a sudden he starts celebrating, and he's Besimcha Gedola. They're like, Rebbe, you were just unable to do a mitzvah. Why are you so happy? You should be upset. He says, no, I wanted to do the mitzvah, I just couldn't do it. They're like, right, so why are you so happy? He says, you don't understand. Whenever I do a mitzvah, I always have questions. Did I do it perfectly? Did I do it honestly? Did I do a lishma? I'm not sure if I did it, but who knows? But you know what the Gemara says? If a person tries to do a mitzvah, and some way they were ones, they couldn't do it, Hashem gives you the credit as if you did it. So says the Chozem Milublin, ironically, if I actually do a mitzvah, I might not have done it perfectly. But if I wanted to do a mitzvah, but I couldn't because I was ba'ones, Hashem gives me the credit. If Hashem gives me the credit, He's giving me the credit for a perfect mitzvah. It's not like He's going to give me half credit. He's giving me the credit as if I did it according to His standards. That's why I'm celebrating. Obviously, I would rather have wanted to do it. But in a certain sense, wanting to do it and not being able to do it is even greater in a sense, says the Chozem Milublin, because I get full credit from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. At the end of the Seder, we couldn't do the Korban Pesach. Chassah, we wanted to, we wish we could do it. We wish we were in Yerushalayim with all of Klal Yisrael, jumping onto our roofs after the Seder, looking around at all the other rooftops. And there's not going to be a Jewish quarter, by the way. There's going to be a Jewish city, right? Right, a quarter means a quarter, right? Halavai, I think what we have to daven for. What's the daven for? Chasal, Seder. So we can't do it now. So we say, we wish we could do it. So we say we did it perfectly because Hashem gave us the credit. Chasal, Seder, Pesach, Yelchaso, Kechol, Mishpato, Vechukaso. We did it perfectly. Hashem gave us the credit. But you know what we say? But it's really not what we want. Kasher, Zachinu, Lasader, Oso. Just like we were zochet to be mesader it, kenizke lasoso. We should be zochet to actually do it. We should be zochet to not just get the credit. We'll take a lesser. Let's just do it. Kenizke lasoso. As Hashem, we should be able to say, we should not be able to say chasal, right? We should be able to skip chasal. We still have a week or so, right? Benisan nigal, benisan tzitzit ligal. We should be zochet to a chag kosher v'sameach for all of Klal Yisrael, and we should be be'echad. We should be be'echad, so we don't have any more om demalinu l'chal oseinu. We should just say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, matzileinu miyadam.